You're listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm Alexis Kenyon. Coming up on today's show, we have Community Cycles in studio to talk about Bike to Work Month. After that, on the Nature Almanac, we hear about the American white pelicans that you may be seeing during your commute to work. Then, as always, it's Sports Talk with Jimmy. Following BBC Headlines Connections comes your way. On today's program, we hear from some of the area's leading experts about the power of pollinators. And then at 9:30, the Morning Sound Alternative brings you 2.5 hours of eclectic music until noon. That's all still ahead this morning. But first, these headlines with KGNU's Benita Lee.
You might notice several people wearing orange today. That's because it's the official color of National Gun Violence Awareness Day, the second annual observance to honor survivors and victims of gun violence. In a press release Thursday, Boulder County Commissioners Clara Levy, Marta Lokoman, and Ashley Stoltzman declared that the county is officially recognizing June 2023 as Gun Violence Awareness and Prevention Month. They urged that state and federal officials ban assault weapons, pointing to Australia's successful track record with gun violence prevention. Since Australia banned assault weapons 26 years ago, the country has only had 3 mass shootings. According to the Gun Violence Archive, there have been over 200 mass shootings so far in the U.S. in 2023 alone. This year, the Colorado General Assembly passed bills that strengthen red flag laws, raise the minimum age for purchasing a firearm, and introduce a waiting period for purchases. However, the 3 commissioners expressed frustration that a bill banning assault weapons did not pass this year. Wear Orange events will be held throughout Boulder County this weekend. Denver International Airport has launched a new program that allows departing passengers to avoid long lines by scheduling an appointment with TSA. Den Reserve, which began yesterday, is free but only for travelers who are not registered with TSA PreCheck or Clear. Those both require signing up in advance and paying fees. However, airport officials say it's best to sign up for Den Reserve on their website 3 days in advance of traveling. Alternatively, passengers can capture a QR code while at the airport to check for available TSA appointments. Den Reserve is operated at the TSA checkpoint at A Bridge between 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. A new affordable housing project is in the planning stages in Denver. If it all comes together, it could result in more than 350 units. KGNU's John Kellen explains.
The project is being developed by the Urban Land Conservancy and would be built on the last vacant property by the Park Hill Village West development. Located at 4050 North Colorado Boulevard, the planned 350 units would be for people making around $80,500 a year, which is about 80% of the area's median income. Up to 70 of the units would be for seniors. The project would be built on 6.7 acres of land. Under a current agreement with the nearby Park Hill Village development, 15% of a new project's acreage has to be preserved for open space, according to the Denverite. That would have to be reduced to 10%, the amount now designated for open space in the new development, in order for the project to move forward. The project site is near the Park Hill Golf Course. Earlier this year, voters rejected a plan to change a land use agreement in order to build an income-restricted housing project there. Urban Land Conservancy is working with a Nashville, Tennessee firm on the project's financing. Its architect is Denver-based ShopWorks Architecture. For KGNU, I'm John Kellen.
Residential property owners in Boulder County have until June 8th to appeal their assessed property values if they believe they are incorrect. The county mailed property owners a notice of valuation postcard on May 1st. Those who wish to appeal their assessments, which raise property taxes when the valuations increase, can do so through the Boulder County website, by fax, mail, Dropbox, or email. For more information, go to bouldercounty.gov. 3 men involved in a deadly crime spree were sentenced to multiple decades in prison. Those sentences were announced by the Denver District Attorney's Office on Wednesday. On August 17, 2021, 18-year-old Shmuel Silverberg was walking near Yeshiva Torah Chaim School when he was pursued by vehicles, assaulted, shot, and killed. 5 suspects fled the scene but were later arrested. In April of this year, they pled guilty to charges ranging from first-degree kidnapping to second-degree murder. Early in the investigation, Denver police officials said the crime appeared to be part of random attacks rather than anti-Semitism. The defendants were also charged for carjackings, robberies, and assaults. Another victim, Thomas Young, was beaten, robbed, and shot, which left him paralyzed from a spinal cord injury. The two remaining suspects are scheduled to be sentenced later this summer. The Air Force announced Wednesday that four additional Space Force units will now be based in Colorado Springs. The news came at a moment when the Biden administration is considering whether to forge ahead with former President Donald Trump's plan to move Space Command's headquarters to Huntsville, Alabama. Colorado Springs has been the military branch's temporary headquarters for several years. According to the Associated Press, the new announcement may further escalate what was considered a political decision by Trump. Alabama's Republican Senator Tom Tuberville said earlier this year that he would pause military nominations until the Department of Defense reverses a new policy allowing female military personnel to be reimbursed for travel costs if they have to go out of state for reproductive care, including abortions. The Pentagon and the White House say locating the new Space Force units in Colorado Springs is not linked with Alabama's strict anti-abortion laws. Two Colorado girls competing in the Scripps National Spelling Bee made it as far as the fourth round before being eliminated. 12-year-old Aditi Muthukumar of Westminster was tripped up by the word charrette, which is a kind of tree. Sophia Tommy Wu, who just completed fifth grade at Boulder's Douglas Elementary School, finished in a tie for 173rd place. She missed the word pappardelle. First place went to 14-year-old Dev Shah of Largo, Florida, who called his victory surreal. Partly sunny today with a chance of rain and thunderstorms throughout the Front Range. In Denver, a high near 71 and a low around 51. In Boulder, a high near 67 and a low around 49. In Fort Collins, a high near 69 and a low around 50. For KGNU, I'm Benita Lee.
You're listening to KGNU's Morning Magazine. I'm Alexis Kenyon. June is Bike and Walk to Work Month, actually just Bike and Walk Month for all of Colorado. Joining me to talk about what this means and events going on in Boulder, we have Sue Prant, Executive Director of Community Cycles, and Rachel Friend, City Council Member and Development Director for Community Cycles. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Great to be here.
So to start, I want to talk about City Council meeting last night. There was an ordinance passed that allows e-bikes, we can go through this quickly, e-bikes on some open space trails. Can you tell me about this? I wasn't honestly expecting for it to pass, and so I found it surprising.
Okay. So there were kind of three different recommendations that council was considering. One was the recommendation from staff, which was to open up a certain number of trails. The other was recommendation from the open space board majority, which was to open up not very much. And then the third was the minority open space recommendation, which was to do the staff's recommendation plus some more trails. And city council went with the third, so the minority open space rec.
Did this surprise either of you?
It did not surprise me because I had conversations and knew where it was going.
Yeah, I also knew where it was going.
You knew where it was going, so no big surprise.
I wasn't surprised either.
I guess I wanted to ask you about that because I think that there is a learning curve and a shift happening as we speak when it comes to integrating e-bikes with bikes and electric vehicle, small electric vehicle. E-bikes are new onto the scene and they're popping up more and more. And I feel a cultural shift. Are you guys experiencing something similar?
Well, I feel e-bikes do a great service in that they bring biking to more people. And they're kind of a great equalizer. As we were saying before, it allows people who may not have the capability to ride as far as and as long as others, but still want to go on a long bike ride to participate. It also allows people who may have certain disabilities and things like that to access places that they wouldn't otherwise be able to access. So, and I think it takes the fear out of biking. Some people would say, well, I would bike there, but I don't know if I can make it and get back and stuff like that. Well, when you know you have that pedal assist, you can probably do that. And while a lot of e-bike owners tell me is like, well, I started with the idea of doing pedal assist all the time, but I use it less and less. So that's really great that people kind of grow into it.
I will say, for me, it's been personally transformative, as you and I were talking about a bit before we went on air. I would have driven to this meeting this morning, like hands down, before
my
e-bike.
And
I bike, you know.
So did I.
I e-bike everywhere. So I do think that it is, we're at a shifting moment societally. And for any listeners who might be freaking out thinking that we just opened up e-bikes on open space, I just want to clarify. It's largely or entirely outside of, I think, possibly Chapman, west of Broadway. It's the flat open space, like connector trails in East Boulder. So it's sort of helping people to get from places like Gun Barrel into Boulder. So it's not, you know, we're not going to have any bikes on Sanitas or things like that. So this is a pretty tame place to have bikes. And it's also the places that bikes are already allowed. So we're just adding e-bikes into the mix.
I mean, it seems like, so I actually take that bike ride from Gun Barrel into Boulder in the morning, and I was blown away and had such a deeper appreciation for Boulder's bike trails. And as I have talked to other people, apparently I've been missing out this whole time because Boulder has incredible bike trails. And I wonder if this seems like a reason to stay in Boulder. It seems like a reason to move to Boulder. It seems to like a reason to move into city limits where there are bike trails. Seems like this is becoming a more, as people become e-bikers and it broadens the community of e-bikers and bikers, and more people are going to be using this trail. Is this something that you're considering in city council, or that, you know, as you look at planning the future of transportation in the city and surrounding areas?
Well, the hope is, as you say, that e-bikers get more people on bikes. But that's, again, that's kind of what Walk and Bike Month is about. It's about this celebrating getting around town by walking and biking and exposing people to what exists.
Yeah.
So we have a ride on Sunday, the B360, which is Circle Boulder by Bicycle, which goes on the multi-use paths and side streets and protected bike lanes to show people how to get around Boulder by bicycle.
Yeah.
For those who know how to get around, it's a great day. It celebrates being on bike. We have ice cream at the end. It's lots of fun. You get to ride with 700 of your best friends. For those who don't know the bike paths and the ways around Boulder, it exposes you to a lot of places that you didn't realize were great ways to ride a bike rather than riding, you know, on Broadway or a major street. Here's the route that you might go to get from here and there, and it's really pleasant on your bicycle.
Yeah.
So it starts at 10 a.m. at Valmont Park and on Sunday, June 4th, and come out, and it's free with ice cream at the end.
Oh, wow. The ice cream is really, you know, extra.
And you can use your e-bike.
And you can use your e-bike on it. You can use any bike. You can walk it. There's a day where there's going to be a walk led on with the B360. And go to our website, which is walkandbikemonth.org, and you'll see there's a walk version of this, which we do a lot of walks during Walk and Bike Month as well to expose people to walking in Boulder is also awesome.
I'm curious about commuting from somewhere outside of Boulder. For example, commuting from Lafayette or Louisville. I don't know of any bike routes that are specifically bike routes, like the ones that we have within Boulder. Is there a good way that you would recommend people safely and non-stressfully commuting?
So there are good routes in from you know, what's called our L towns. So actually, from Longmont, they're working on a dedicated path that will go right down the middle of the diagonal, and we should see that.
Oh, wow.
Maybe in under 10 years, we should see that.
Cool.
But currently, there's the Lobo Trail, which is a little bit more meandering, but it goes in. If you're coming in from Lafayette, Baseline is actually really a very nice road to ride in on.
Okay.
And there are routes, and you can contact us at Community Cycles, and we can give you some help on that. And there's great ways to get around. So it is, once you sort of learn the ropes, you find that you can get pretty much anywhere on your bicycle.
How will the East Boulder development plan affect bike paths?
It should improve them. Like, they should be integrated at every available turn.
I'm curious if this is something that Boulder is talking about actively, you know, like ramping up bike trails, and if that conversation has shifted.
So I think we are both ramping up trails and also having a big conversation about making streets better for biking. So, because not everywhere is available by trail. So I'm sure you all have heard of the Core Arterial Network. So we're kind of taking pains to make a whole loop around the city where you can bike in protected bike lanes. So you don't have to, you know, meander over to the trails.
Okay, so before we wrap up, we have about 1 minute. Tell me about everything that people need to know about Bike to Work Month or Bike and Walk Month and Bike to Work Day.
So Bike to Work Day is June 28th, and we have many breakfast stations. Check our website, walkandbikemonth.org. In the evening, there's a free happy hour over at Boulder Junction at Zeal, sponsored by the Boulder Chamber and Boulder Transportation Connections. We have a bike party, which is like a show where you enter your great bike and people vote on it. You win prizes. That's June 21st to Upslope. We have our Community Cycles member party. Bring a friend and they get a free or discount membership. And that is June 24th. Tons of food and lots of fun things going on. So please just go to our website, walkandbikemonth.org.
And we will have a link on our website when we get that post up at news.kgnu.org. Thank you so much for joining me, both of you. Sue Prant is the executive director of Community Cycles, and Rachel Friend is city council member and development director for Community Cycles. We are all looking forward to Bike and Walk Month. Thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hope to see you out there. Thanks for having us.
You're listening to KGNU. I'm Alexis Kenyon. Up next, it's Nature Almanac.
Station here too.
Oh, nice.
It's June. What's happening in the natural world? Here are Boulder naturalists Scott Sievers and Ruth Carol Cushman.
We're standing around a big lake below the White Rocks Formation, and usually it's full of water, bright, sparkling blue, but right now it's been drained down for restoration work. There are just a few little bodies of water that I was hoping would collect the birds, but I don't see any on this spot that's nearest us, but farther out there is something bright white. And can you put the scope on it, Scott, and see if it's pelican or an egret? Because all I see is bright white.
Opening up the spotting scope here. Yeah, it's a group of pelicans roosting on a island in amongst the cattails. These are American white pelicans.
They do look like swans from a distance, just a big white bird.
Swans have all white wings, but pelicans have a white leading edge and black flight feathers. The feathers at the edges and tips of the wings. We've got some Canada geese coming in. We've come around the corner of the pond, and just a little bit of a change in perspective. Voila, here are all the pelicans in perfect view, standing in shallow water in amongst some cattails that shield them from wind and visibility from other predators. They're preening and stretching and cleaning themselves up.
And I'd say there are over a dozen of them there, wouldn't you, Scott?
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 17 to 20 pelicans in that group. Pelicans are social feeders. The white pelicans gather on the water's surface and push the fish to shallow water, and then in a coordinated move, all put their heads in scoop at the same time, and the fish, in a panic, end up in their pouches, and then they pull the pouch up out of the water, they squeeze, and they push all the water out the sides of their bill, and then they swallow the fish.
That's a great description of it. I knew they do the communal fishing, but I never heard that detailed description of what they actually do. Ooh, we're looking through the binoculars at a close-up of the pelican face, and it's got a lot of orange skin around the blue eye, and then that big, big pink bill that can hold more than its belly can, and the protuberance on the top of the bill that shows that it's a breeding bird. It is beautiful. And when you look at the face, there's no mistaking it for a swan. When you see it at a distance, you can be confused, but not when you look at that beak.
Oh, look at that stretch. Pelicans, when they're stretching, they'll often stretch their pouch, which is loose
skin
under their bill.
Warning signs for cancer, or you know, any number of different cancers. But it could also be warning signs for many other conditions. You know, it could be anemia, it could be inflammatory bowel disease.
They had to stumble across the ground a little bit to get.
And so that's, you know, the conundrum that GPs have to deal with currently.
And all these blood tests, I mean, I said that they can detect more than 50 types of cancer. Are there particular types of cancer that they're?
I think they're gonna. I think they could sense that their friends are on the other side, and they're gonna swim around to meet them on the other side of this big island. There goes some pelicans. They're flying off to the west. Look at them go! Oh, pelicans are incredible soaring birds. They have an impressive wingspan. It's 9 feet. I was talking a little bit earlier about the pelicans and what amazing soaring birds they are. And it's thought that those black feathers, which are without pigment, are very strong. The pelicans can put a lot of downward pressure to gain altitude. Then they'll hold that strength for soaring.
Boy, once they take flight, they are so graceful.
Ruth Carol Cushman and Scott Sievers are friends and Boulder naturalists.
You're listening to KGNU. Up next, it's Sports Talk with Jimmy.
Fun fact, the Denver Nuggets actually offered me a contract, but after smashing way too many of their backboards, they had to pull it because it was just too expensive to keep replacing them. Hello and welcome back to Sports Talk with Jimmy. I am your host, Jimmy Searfoss, back again with more sports news and stories from across the Front Range in the studio here today at KGNU in Boulder, Colorado. And let me tell you, there is no more obvious story out right now than the absolute Nuggets fever that has taken over Denver. Now, I'm not sure if you've taken a step outside in downtown Denver or any of the surrounding towns, but you might have noticed the sheer amount of rainbows and Nuggets merchandise hanging from the shortstops' windows and the pop-up shops along the streets. The Nuggets have a firm grip on the neck of Denver, and rightfully so, because they are in their very first NBA final. They are the last major Colorado sports team to make it to the finals in their respective sport. They, however, aren't the only ones without a title, thank you, Colorado Rockies. But that soon might change, because the Nuggets are taking on the Miami Heat, and when it comes to teams to play in this playoffs, this is probably one of the better options for them. For those who don't know, Miami Heat came into the playoffs as an 8 seed and just got really hot over the last few weeks. They're mostly made up of just their star player Jimmy Butler and a bunch of role players that have been doing their job very well over the playoffs. Now, that's not to take away from them, but the Nuggets are a dang good all-around team, and they looked it Thursday night in the first game of this series, where Denver left Ball Arena with a 104-93 victory for the first win in the best-of-seven series. Now back to that Nuggets fever, if you were anywhere in Denver watching that game, chances are you were rubbing elbows with a lot of other Denver Nuggets fans because all those spaces were full. Denver bars were filled, sports bars were filled, restaurants were filled, even the ones in Boulder. I personally went and viewed the game at the Dark Horse last night, where people were packed in, trying to get a glimpse of the screen. Here's what it sounded like as the clock ran out and the Nuggets were on their way to their first finals victory in their 56 seasons as a franchise. Expect that energy to keep up because this Nuggets team still has three more wins to go before they can claim that championship and join the ranks of respected Colorado sports franchises. The Rockies aren't quite there yet. Plus, that parade will be amazing. We all remember how that Avalanche parade was last year when Denver caught Avalanche fever and they went on their championship run. Now, it's the Nuggets' turn. Ball Arena has been very, very busy. And that is just about all the time I got for you here on KGNU. I've been your host, Jimmy Searfoss, here on Sports Talk. Make sure you tune in next week at this same time for more.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. Stay tuned for Connections with Fiona Foster coming up after these headlines, which we will join in progress.